Welcome back. Hopefully you stopped, did the exercise, and you noticed some words. You're like, oh my God, I can't believe I use it that much. I can't believe that I say that. I mean, there's going to be some words, if you are consciously aware of it, there's going to be words that every time you say it, like, oh my God, I used it again. I used it again. I used it again. And we just have to mentally focus on that. We have to be the observer of our exterior, you know, emotions, mannerisms, right? Our physiology. We have to be the observer of that and correct it. We also have to be the observer of the words that come out of our mouth. We have to be the observer of the people we hang around. And again, those subtle shifts add up. What I want to do now, we are at the beginning of module 3, and this is the power of your story. Now, the power of your story is so much stronger than we could ever imagine. I mean, think about this. If I asked you 3 times in your life where something didn't work out, if you said, you know, I'm not in a relationship right now because I could be more financially free, but I'm not that happy sometimes, or I get stressed sometimes because. At the end of that but or the because, a lot of times that is our story that is either holding us back or the complete train wreck anchor that's stopping us from anything moving forward in our lives, right? I mean, if you think about this, and we're going to get into this heavy into this section, but if you think about certain people in your life, maybe you, think about someone who was in a relationship and it went sideways, and maybe the guy was a jerk, or maybe the girl did something wrong. But think about how many times, if you know someone in your life, how many times they've repeated the same stories. I'm single because men are no good. Men are unfaithful. Women don't get me. And all of a sudden, because of one situation in your life, a story is developed, and it could hold someone back from being in another relationship for a month, a year, or a lifetime. Hold someone back from starting the business a month, a year, or a lifetime. Hold someone back from getting in the best shape of their life a year, a month, or a lifetime, right? And that's why, again, do you remember when we talked about the inner villain and what feeds it? Instead of just giving you the cure on what I think would kill the inner villain, I wanted to give you the ingredients that fuel it. How does that parasite come into your body? The same thing here. I want to go through an exercise in this section so you really understand where your story comes from. It's not because you're lazy. It's not because you're a bad person. It's not because you're lazy. It's not because you're a procrastinator. There are pieces that built this story in our lives. And what we need to do is upgrade our story. We change our story, we change our lives. Again, I think that was from Tony Robbins too. And it's still something that, you know, he might've got it from Jim Rohn. I don't know, but we know this, the power of your story. And leading up now, we have to figure out the things that drive us and the things that hold us back. And if you look at the power of a story, this is some science around it. As you listen to a story, your brain waves synchronize with the storyteller, even if you are the storyteller. Think about that. Small shifts in your personal story will create a massive shift in your life. And that's coming from science. I just literally read that off of a slide. So what is your story? We're gonna dive into that. But before we dive into your story, we're also going to dive into where it came from so we can identify the root cause. What have I been saying in this course? We're going to go upstream. And if we stop, I talked about, you know, people in the river and the doctor's trying to save them. One doctor was smart enough to go upstream and stop them from being thrown in. We're going upstream on your story in this section. But before we do, I'd love to play a video from a gentleman who's got a story. And he's a part of one of our, he's a part of our KBB, another course and training that we do, something completely different than this. But it was such a magical story that I'd love to play that video for you right now. And when we come back, we'll talk about it. Team, could you play that?
At the age of 12, I have had a passion for supporting people with disabilities and helping people with disabilities to recognize that it is possible to overcome significant barriers in our life, to do unbelievable things. I have cerebral palsy. I live my life in a power wheelchair, but I'm not here to say, oh, look at me, poor me. It's anything but. Not only do I accept the fact that I have a disability, but I believe that my disability puts me in a unique position to see the world in a very, very different way than most. I'm able to recognize that there is possibilities where other people may not see it. I'm willing to go and do things that not a lot of people are willing to do. And I've pushed myself to get to where I am because I refuse to have that limited mentality that because of a disability, I'm not able to achieve X, Y, Z. And that's why I'm sitting here as a Paralympic athlete. I competed for Canada way back in 2000. I'm kind of aging myself here, but I competed for Canada in the 2000 Paralympic Games. And then I took about 16 years off of that from that Paralympic sport, only to return in 2017 to that sport. And I have regained my position on the national team in Canada as of 2019. So 16-year hiatus, and here I am back competing at a high level in this sport. Pretty incredible. But the fact of the matter is, I'm able to do these things because I know that I can control how I respond to the environment. I can control how I respond to adversity. I do not let challenge bring me down. I'm always trying to push myself to the next level. So the KBB course and this opportunity that Tony and Dean have created for all of us has been nothing but a godsend, because it is giving me the practical tools that I have needed for a long time to actually impact other people's lives in a really profound way, and hopefully see them be just as successful as I've been in my life. I have nothing but gratitude for everyone in my life, and nothing but gratitude for all the wonderful experiences I've had, and I want nothing more than to help other people with disabilities achieve their dreams and prove to them that even though everything looks as though it's too difficult or there's too many challenges, if we're creative enough, if we're stubborn enough, if we want it enough, it can be accomplished. So thank you, everybody. I am looking forward to this ongoing journey with KBB and everybody in the KBB Facebook group. I'm very active in there. And I also want to make sure that people know I'm not here just to be inspiring. I want to be able to support everybody and be as much of a help as I can be to everybody in that group.
That video, can we give it up for Lance? That is probably the fifth time I've seen that video, and it chokes me up every time. I know, not the first time I cried terribly in tears of joy, and every time I get so emotional looking at that, because isn't that some of what, or doesn't that just sum up everything we're talking about? I have no idea what it's like to have cerebral palsy and to deal with what Lance had to deal with. I have no idea what those obstacles are. I could talk about my troubled childhood and things I went through. That's a different level. I won't pretend to know, but I will know, say that I do know that his story is not only inspiring, it's why he's the man he is. It's why he's having the gains in life and not blaming anything and not putting it as someone else's fault. Do you hear that man's story? I can't, do you know, Lance has every excuse in the world to blame, to say, this is not my fault. I was born with this. This is why I'm in this space. He has every reason, and who would blame him? Would you blame him for a second if he came on mad at the world? But look at his story and look what he gets to accomplish 16 years later after being a Paralympic athlete. He's back on the team. He took our KBB course and crushed it and did his first mastermind. He's continuing to do it. He inspires people in our group. I mean, what an amazing man. And what came first, the chicken or the egg, right? The horse or the cart? Did his success come first and then he adopted a new story? Hell no. His story came first. He looked through a different lens. He changed his mannerisms. He changed his thought process. He focused on his strengths. He didn't listen to the naysayers. He didn't let his confidence go down. He changed his state of mind. He had different beliefs. He had a different story. And when people say to me, yeah, I heard that story thing. Yeah, I'll change my story, change my life. Okay, what's next, Dean? So how do I make the money? You missed the whole point. If Lance didn't have that story and we gave him KBB and he was a part of the community and part of what Tony and I taught him, a part of this, would he have any success if he had the wrong story? Would he have any success at all? Right? So in this section, we are going to uncover your story. And we're going to uncover where it came from. And we're going to probably go a little deeper on it than maybe you ever have before. Or maybe you have. But I'm going to ask you to play full out. And before I do, I want to give you a couple little stories here to get you thinking about what story you're telling yourself. Now, I just told my kids this, and I'm probably going to mess this up. This is probably an old story that's been going around forever. But I just told my kids this in the car 4 days ago. We were driving home from baseball practice. They were in the back seat, front seat. And I was talking about beliefs and how that is the foundation for everything. And I like to make things simple. So I heard the story of twin guys in their 40s. One's massively successful, one's not. So they interview the one that's not so successful, and he was in jail. He had gotten on drugs. He got into robbery. You know, it was estranged from his wife and nothing but mess. And they asked him, you know, how'd that happen? And he said, I have all this. And his father was an alcoholic and his father beat him, right? And the one kid talks about at 40 years old, he's a man now, right? All the things that went wrong in his life and drugs and jail. And the other brother was massively successful. He was a CEO of a company, had a family, was a great dad, great husband. And when they asked both of them, how you were so successful and how did you get in so much trouble? You know what both of their answers were? With a father like mine, what other choice did I have? Look at that. The father like mine, what other choice did I have? Now, I don't know if that came from a real story or it's just a great belief story. My kids got it in 2 seconds. Either way, isn't it so powerful? I tell you another story that this is real. This was told to me by a dear friend of mine. He said, in Utah, and he wasn't telling me for a reason. He was just telling me the story and it stuck. And I've repeated it a bunch of times. But he said, in Utah, on the same street, about 4 miles away from each other, there was restaurants on both sides of the street. And when COVID hit and the world shut down for the first time, right? The one restaurant, they both had to shut down. The one restaurant, the gentleman got so mad. He had been in business for many years. He built that restaurant and they had to close up. They couldn't let people in. And I pictured the one guy, like the book, Who Moved My Cheese, with a story that was like, I can't believe this. I've worked my butt off to create this restaurant. I've got through good and bad, and now they shut me down. There's nothing I can do. He was complaining it was the president's fault. It was China's fault, and he wanted his PPP, the stimulus money that they did on the first round here, and his employees were a pain in the butt, but it wasn't his fault, and he was just mad, and he was waiting for the outside world to fix it, come back open so he could serve people like he's done forever. 3 miles, 4 miles down the road, on the other side of the street, same thing happened. COVID hit. World shut down. People couldn't use their restaurant. That family, because I guess it was a guy with his brothers, when that happened, they immediately went out and went to like Home Depot or Lowe's and they built this outside pavilion and made a drive-through on the outside of their business. They went inside and moved the stations around so people could cook 6 feet apart. And within 3 days, they were open. And my buddy said within 5 days, there was a line down the street for their barbecue restaurant and literally booming. What was different between the two? Were they both in the food business? They're both in the same state, same city, same road, same time of year, same COVID. Nothing was different except the story each of them had. So how powerful is the story? It's everything. You see, I visualize those same two people 10 years from now, And if they stick with that, could you imagine if you ask them about the year 2020? Imagine asking both of them. One of them, it was the end. One of them might have been the beginning. One said, yeah, I was in business for 20 years and that damn COVID happened and the way the government handled it and the way the city handled it, it took me out of business and it ruined everything and I can't believe that happened. God darn it. Ugh. And the other one said, oh my God, COVID hit. It expanded our mind. We shifted our story. We changed up. Now we have 22 drive-through barbecue restaurants all around the country. Like, that's what I visualize. And the difference of the two was literally what they told themselves. So how important is your story? Oh my God, it might be the most important thing we need to shift and why we're spending so much time on it. So in a moment here, we're gonna do an exercise. But I wanna talk through it first. And then you're gonna go do it. And the first thing I want you to think about is what do you feel is, and don't be embarrassed like this. And let me tell you, if this is the first time you're ever doing an exercise like this, you know what you're gonna think? Dean, but you don't know what I'm going through. It's not just some stupid story to me. This is the truth. It's always the truth. The guy in the restaurant, it's the truth. They shut him down. He couldn't serve people. Lance's truth. He had a disability. He's stuck in a wheelchair. That's the truth. But how he perceived it was completely different. I have a dear friend I had, he passed away last year. His name was Sean Stevenson. They called him the 3-foot giant. And I loved Sean. They called him the 3-foot giant because if you met Sean, literally he was 3 foot tall in a wheelchair. If you met him in 5 minutes, you don't even remember he's in a wheelchair and you think he's 7'5". But I have so many incredible memories. I'm gonna celebrate him because he made such an impact on my life. This is pretty intense, Sean. How's it going?
Well, that's how I roll. I got two levels. I got intense and nuclear. So,
okay.
So you just let me know which one you want.
So you see this incredible audience that we have here.
Yeah.
You haven't had many obstacles in your life. They do. So
yeah,
how
I've
can
not
you
had
help
any.
Them?
I've not
so
had
any. So how can you help them overcome?
Sorry, I don't know anything about adversity. Yeah. And I would love it if you guys could write this down, because this is like really good for your kids if you have children. Raise your hand if you have kids. Raise your hand if you are still a child yourself. Okay. Fairness is an illusion. The only time you ever feel like something bad's happening to me is when you think that somebody else got a better life than you. And the way that I kept my sanity all these years, as challenged as I have been, is I was gifted, thank God, with great parents. And those parents showed me that fairness is an illusion. No one got more than you. I know you think they did. And no one got less than you, and that's where you pity people. You think, oh, but Sean, I've been to Africa with the kids with the swollen bellies. Sean, what about the homeless guy outside? Sean. You wanna know what causes strife on this planet and within your planet? Feeling sorry for something. The moment you feel sorry for another human being, you're pretending like they didn't get enough. And the moment you start feeling sorry for yourself, you're playing that you didn't get enough. And I've really reverse engineered this, and I found that, I like to call it magic, but that's just so you stay calm and we don't fight over whose definition of God there is. But magic is amazing. Because magic never takes anything from you without giving you something. Let's look at my life. I have things that none of you do, right? I have things that you're like, oh man, wouldn't want what he's got, oh man. That's because you're only seeing it from your perspective. Let me show you what I have that you don't. That's amazing. You walk into a room and give somebody your business card. If you don't have a photo on that business card, they're not going to remember you in 6 weeks. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. You can't scrub me from your mind for the rest of your life. I'm like herpes to the soul. You ain't getting rid of me. Is that an advantage in marketing?
Yes.
Right. So that's an advantage, is it not?
Yes.
When I go into a room, do people look at me? Yes. How many people saw me come in the room before they were like, were being all sweet and like making fun of me and thought they were funnier than me? Let's be honest, bad idea, right? But did you see me when I came in the room? Raise your hand. Did anybody see me? Yeah. And that was out of the corner of their peripheral, right? Isn't it an advantage to come into a room and not have to say a word and people focus in on you? Is that an advantage, yes or no? Yeah. Because I get to be a tribal leader. The moment I know what to do with that attention. You know the difference between cocky and arrogant? Do you know?
No.
Cocky, you can back it up. Arrogant is overcompensation, right? Do you know the difference between arrogance and confidence? Arrogance is about proving. Confidence is about improving. Whenever you feel like you're not enough, you are going in a downward spiral called insecurity. I've set my whole life intention to rid this world of insecurity. It will happen in my lifetime. And you think, oh, Sean, that's every human being. That's not going to happen. You know, it wasn't very long ago that blacks and whites, we couldn't drink from the same fountain. Right? Do you know, like, it wasn't that long ago women couldn't vote. You know, not too long ago in the big history of the human race, the world was flat. You know how long ago we didn't believe that gravity existed? Don't tell me something's not possible just because you can't see it. I am put on this planet, Dean, to share with you a message that if Dean said it, you go, oh, that's nice. But when I say it, you go, holy shit. Am I right?
Absolutely.
So what I'm here to tell you is you are enough. How do I know? Because you're still here. How many people in this room, by a raise of hands, have had at least one thing happen in your life that had gone one little direction to the left or right, you would be dead, just by a raise of hands? Oh, look at you. You're so fucking lucky. You get that? Boo-hoo for you, right? You survived. Oh, life's not fair. You survived. Life's very fair for you. And I'm hard on you and I love you at the same time, because I'm hard on me and I love me the same time. And I've had to really, like, go inside and do the work on me. And every day what I do is I get up about 5 a.m., sometimes 4:30 in the morning, because I got God's caffeine in my soul. I don't need caffeine. I'm running circles around you. Hello, that's got to make you a little insecure, doesn't it? That's good. I'm trying to bring up your insecurities, so then you pay me to get rid of them, right? It's a great marketing plan, right? Hello, running circles. I mean, I love you, but your ego's got you in a chokehold. Your ego's got you in a chokehold. The moment you think you're not enough. Who told you that? Your neighbor? Your parent? Your boss? Your ex-wife? Like, who told you you're not enough? Because I got some news for you. They lied. They tried to sell you a story that you were not enough because they didn't feel like they were enough. So they wanted to keep you where they are. It's called being human. Don't hate them. Because you do it too, my friends. I do it too. We figure out our set point. And then we go, do not pass me. Don't pass me, Dean. The moment you pass me, I'm going to figure out your Achilles heel, and I'm going to go after it. So all of a sudden, you feel like, ah, okay, I won't. I'll put my glow on low.
Put my glow on low. That's my quote of the day.
How many people have had somebody you love in your life put out a statement to try to get you to put your glow on low? Raise your hand up high. And the more you do cool shit, the more they're going to turn up the volume on that. And you have a choice. You have lots of choices. One of the choices is you can get really angry. You can become a militant son of a bitch. And you can be like, screw you. No one's going to tell me what to do. You have that choice. It's not going to go over well. Not for long. It's going to exhaust you. Ego is great. Ego is great. If you need explosive growth that then takes a shit ton out of you. Ego is great for that. but there's something bigger that you got to tap into, and that's purpose. Some people call it soul. I just figure out what words make people uncomfortable, and I just rebrand them so I can talk to them without their little fucking insecurities going, no, I don't like that. No, 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 no. So I'll call it magic, but we're talking da, buddha, la, da, 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 right? I'll rename the words so that your insecurities, shh. Look, I love you so much. I don't even need to know you to love you, because the moment I don't love you, you own me. Because then I start going around you. Oh, shoot, they're going to be at that event? Oh, man, I better not go to that event. Or, oh, shoot, they don't like me? I better do something to get their validation. Oh, shoot, I better kiss their ass. Oh, shoot, I better look good. I better puff my chest out. Look, the moment I don't love you for who you are 100% is the moment I don't love myself 100%. And I'm going through that in my relationships. I'm seeing that I am a hard human being to live with. Because I don't handle bullshit well. If I did, I'd be dead already. Apathy will kill a human being. I've got 6 friends with my disability, all dead. Apathy killed them. And I love each one of them, and I miss them every day. But I ain't going out that way. I'm not going to let your fear about my greatness cause me to put my glow on low and then go, what's the point, and stop. I'm just not going to do that anymore. It's not serving you, it's not serving me, and it ain't serving the planet. Write this down. Nothing speaks louder than results. You want to know what's great about Dean Graziosi? When he comes into the room, he doesn't have to tell his bio. His results speak for themselves. You now get to just relax into your skin and be like, hello, I'm Dean. My number one thing is to be a good parent. You don't want people to know most of the time what you've done, because then they get all like clingy as shit and like, ooh, what's the secret? What's the secret? Oh, that's a lot of money. Can I have some of it? Oh, blah, 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 blah. And they leech the shit out of him. And he's sweet, so he's like, yeah. I'd be like, get the fuck back. But I can say things differently than you, can I?
Yes, you can. That's another one of your gifts.
Yeah, damn straight.
Shit, I came up on stage, no one picked me up.
Well, you know, you get to walk, I get to fly, bitch. Yeah, this is how it works. So I ask you, are you in a position right now where you go, this is not where I'm supposed to be? I'm supposed to be wealthy. I'm supposed to be happily married. I'm supposed to be happily single. I'm supposed to be whatever it is that you want. Stop justifying what you want. Go get it. If you justify what you want, you'll be justifying your life for the rest of your life. You don't need to tell people a single reason why you want a goal. You want to buy an airplane? Go buy an airplane. You want to buy an NBA team? Go buy an NBA team. If you want to spend, you know, 3 years just traveling with your kids, go do it. You don't ever need to justify your goals. I just trust my intuition, and I know that you all are doing the best you can with what you have. Dean wants to give you better tools. Because if I give you a spoon and I say, dig to China, you're going to start digging and you're going to bend it on the first chance you get. It's going to snap off. And then you're going to feel like a loser. But it's not about you. It's about the tool you had. Write this down. The only disability is one's refusal to adapt. When you refuse to adapt, you're disabled. Far more than I'll ever be. I used to say the only disability is one's inability to adapt. And then I realized, no, it's always a choice. It's the refusal. When you dig your heels into the ground and say, nope, I'm not going to adapt, you get left behind. I watched my whole life people get left behind because they refused to adapt. Ever heard of the term dematerialization?
Mm-hmm.
Raise your hand if you ever heard that term. Raise your hand if you think you have and you just want to look smart. dematerialization, I heard it from Peter Diamandis.
Yeah.
Wrote a great book called Abundance. And he said, look for the areas in history, look for the areas in business that are going to be extinguished because some new technology, theory, concept is going to make it disappear overnight. Let's just name some of them, okay? Airbnb eliminated a huge chunk of the hotel business. Uber eliminated a huge part of the livery and taxis.
iTunes.
iTunes.
Digital cameras.
All digital cameras. So can I show you what I finally figured out that I'm going to be the cutting trend on while it gets dematerialized? Can I show you? I'm learning something about the human race. We're craving things. We go into our smartphones 150 times a day, and we scroll for something. We scroll for a laugh. We scroll for a good time. We scroll for inspiration. We sometimes are so angry, we scroll to see somebody else living a more screwed up life. So we can compare ourselves and say, oh, I'm not like that guy falling down the steps. Ha ha. You think your monkey brain doesn't do that? It does. So does mine. That's why Jerry Springer can exist. It's true, right? So it's like you're scrolling 150 times a day for something. I think what you're really scrolling for is love. Under it all, peel back the layers of connection and money and fame and laughter, you're looking for love. Because you don't love yourself enough. Because you're afraid to love yourself. Because you've started to believe the lie that you're not enough. Because it's actually easier to believe that you're not enough because then you don't have to do shit. Because then you got your cushy little excuse until I show up and you're like, oh, shit. I'm like a sniper to your bullshit.
And we're going to actually do an exercise in this course that he gave to me over a decade ago. But I'm sharing that about Sean because Sean had every reason, just like Lance, to blame the world, to be mad. He was the most confident man you could ever meet in your life. You know what kind of things? He was so funny. Literally one of the funniest guys ever. He'd come on my stage, and he'd come on my stage, he'd do a little dance in his wheelchair, but he'd say things like, you know what? Don't be envious of me. I see you all looking at me. He goes, you know what? Here's what I know. You girls looking so pretty today, you hope everybody looks at you when you walk in a room. Some might not. Guys, you work out, you want to look great, you walk in a room. Maybe some girls catch your eyes or somebody catches your eye. Maybe they don't. He goes, all I know, when I walk in a room, all eyes are on me. And he's like, who gets that? That's me. I know, I see you looking. Thanks, I know I'm looking good today. That was him, not phony, not fake, not putting on a show, the most confident man you ever met in your life. That was his story. He wasn't gonna be limited by the outside world and the way his body was. He said, this is just a shell. God gave me a shell, it's not so cool. I'm gonna talk to him someday about that. But right now, if this is the shell he gave me, there's nothing gonna stop this. This is a man who married, his wife is Mindy. Mindy's an amazing woman. They had this beautiful ceremony. Like, he had an incredible business. He impacted people's lives all around the world. Sean Stevenson, 3 foot tall, in a wheelchair, 280 broken bones, had every reason to be mad, to be miserable, to give up. The guy had a six pack. Like, working out was so hard. The guy had a six pack. Like, crazy. What was different? Just his story. You know what his story was in the last 5 years of his life? He said, I was put on this earth to solve pain, to relieve people of pain, to help them shift their story. He had a more elegant word, but he knew that his mission was to help people not be so sad, and help people not to feel bad. And he did it. He did it. He fulfilled his mission in life. And just what a great guy. So how important is our story? It's everything. So what I'd love for you to think about, and the reason I digressed with that, because I know I've done this in front of 10,000 people. I know there's certain people that raise their hands. I've done it in rooms of 50 people that I could talk to. I know certain people go, Dean, this isn't my story. You're thinking I'm making an excuse. This is my life. My husband doesn't support me, and we've been on the outs for 2 years. How can I do anything? I don't know, but the woman 3 doors down, is her and her husband were on the outs. and she used that as her fuel. And now they're thriving again and her business is doing well. Same circumstance, different story. So what I'm going to ask you to be is open to realizing this is not trying to blame you or think you made up an excuse. And maybe you say, I'm not as strong as Lance. I'm not as strong as Sean. I'm not as strong as you. That's not true. All of you are strong. We just have to alter certain things, right? I remember my dad always said to me, I'm telling a lot of stories here, but my dad always said to me about car accidents. I never worried about car accidents because my dad always said, who cares about cars? They're metal and tin and we have insurance for it. As long as no one ever gets hurt, who cares? My dad taught me a lot of good things, some not so good things, but that one, I can remember thinking that because I've watched people get in car accidents, right? Little fender benders like at the mall. Think about this. I've watched people get in a fender bender at the mall and the person get out. The circumstance is there was a fender bender, but the person gets out of the car. And did you ever see somebody just lose their mind over an accident? Like completely melt down, screaming. I watched this guy yell at this woman who was older. I got out of the car. I helped her out of the car. I just remember this guy was screaming like it was the end of his world. Like the end of his world. Same circumstance. I know I've gotten fender benders before. I literally had someone slam into the back of me a year ago. I parked at a light, boom. I was in my Tesla and I just got it. Maybe it was 2 years ago. I just got the car. They slammed into me. Don't care. No one got hurt. I get out. She's shaking. It's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And she was melting. I'm like, hey, 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 who cares? I literally told her what my dad told me. I said, it's a car. It's a rubber bumper. We'll fix it. Stop. She was like shaking. I'm like, hon, come here. Come here. Come here. Come here. All good. Look at my eyes. I said, look in my eyes. I don't care. I've been paying insurance for 3 years. You've been paying insurance? She goes, yeah. I'm like, well, it's about time they give us some money back because I've been paying for a long time. She's like, are you serious? I'm like, yes, I'm serious. And she said to me, she goes, my husband's gonna be so mad. I'm like, how about you give me his number? Let me call him right now. And I literally talked to her husband. Because I don't care. I'm not trying to say, I'm great, he sucked. What I'm saying is, it's the same circumstance. It's a car accident. It's the story around the car accident that changes your life. So that's why I want you to be so brutally honest with yourself right now when it comes to what is your story? Why have you missed opportunities? Why are you holding back? Why are you afraid? Are you not good enough? You don't have the support. You don't have the money. You don't have the time. Your husband doesn't believe in you. Your wife doesn't think it's cool. Your partner doesn't think this is the right time. I don't know. What is it? But I would love for you to think about what your story is. We're going to take a moment here and you're going to craft this story. We're going to do a 10-minute exercise here in a minute. But I want to give you some feeder of where this came from, right? I want to give you a feeder. Now, the second part of this is not only do I want you to craft your story, and I think I have that sheet here in a moment. But the second part is I want you to ask, where do you believe it came from, right? I wrote a note here that I just wrote it a little bit ago, is where do you think it came from? Was there an event in your life or a circumstance? Like you got to get to the root cause of it. I've met people, I said this before, I've met people that said, oh, men, I remember the girl, she was at this event 6 months ago. She said, men, oh my God, I just don't trust them. They're no good. How could I be in a relationship? Men are just unfaithful. That's the way they're designed. They're not supposed to be loyal. And I get it. I understand it. But that's just the way they are. And I'm not putting myself through that shit again. And it went back that her dad was unfaithful to her mom. And her husband, the husband that she used to have was unfaithful to her. Those two things, which I feel horrible that she went through, anchored in a story. That's how the world is. And she was lonely and she wanted to be with someone. She wanted love. She missed it terribly. But she had a story that's what men were. Is that true? Hell no. Do I know some people that are unfaithful? Yes. Do I know so many men that wouldn't consider being unfaithful if they were under life, like if they were going to get shot or cheat, they'd take being shot? Yes. So what you need to do is not go search for proof that it doesn't work. You need to go look at the people that it does work with. Go find men and women that have never would even consider being unfaithful. You must bust it. We're going to bust it here in a little bit. But I want you to think of where this story came from, right? Listen, when I first started in business, I didn't think I could do anything that would have to do with teaching, with reading. I had dyslexia. I had Miss Thompson always, I think of Miss Thompson to this day, seventh grade. She must have made an impact. She made me feel so dumb in special reading because I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't sound out the words. She would say, just sound it out. I'm like, I'm trying. But I remember thinking, for a long time. You're dumb, Dean, so you might be able to make money in something as long as it doesn't take intelligence, right? I remember thinking that was where that story came from. I remember people saying in my town where a lot of people didn't have money, that only the rich get richer. It takes money to make money. All those bullshit connections. Oh yeah, you could start with no money down. Yeah, right. It takes money to make money, believe me. Be happy with what you got. I heard that enough in my life. That was one of my stories, and I know where it came from. I actually can envision who implanted that in my life. I know where it came from. What about you? Where did that story come from? How can you identify it? Because a lot of times when you find the root it came from, it's like, oh, I can't believe I'm still holding on to that. Who could be to blame? You see, if you take that story again, it could be an ex-business partner. It could be an ex-business partner who took advantage of you. It could be, listen, when I showed the picture before and after of me, right? If I quit then, if I quit at that very moment, I would have blamed, to this day, I would have blamed my accountant for stealing my money, didn't have it when I needed it, and I would have blamed the two people I had accounts with that kind of cut me out and went to each other. We had all handshake agreement, and all of a sudden, Dean's out, the guy that put the whole deal together. I could have blamed them and said, I would have made it. I was on my way, I had money, I had momentum, I already had a book out, and damn it, this thing happened. Can you blame COVID? Can you blame a certain year? Can you blame a spouse? Of course we can. Or we can take full responsibility, right? But in a lot of times, that blame is just something easier to associate for our subconscious. I have to tell you another thing here that I'm gonna ask you to, when the world opens back up, if you get in a Uber, I love talking to Uber drivers. And I hope this doesn't come across disrespectful at all. But I have this thing in my head. When I get in an Uber and it is a foreigner, someone from a different country, I can't wait to hear their entrepreneurial story. I hear so many of them. You know, I came to this country, Uber's so amazing. I started with one car. I get to work. I can work all night. I have my third car. I have my second car. I got my cousins doing it. Now I'm just using Uber to save some money, and I'm 6 months away from launching my business or a year away from doing this. And I love all those stories. I have to tell you, sometimes, and maybe I'm stereotyping, but I'm just telling you, sometimes if I get in the car and it's an American guy, and I'm using, again, I'm stereotyping here, I apologize, American guy, 45 to maybe 60, I get a lot of the same story. I fortunately, sometimes people recognize me, a lot of times they do only because I'm all over the internet and stuff, right? Or they got my book, or they saw my book in the store. I'm like, oh, I saw what you do, and I'll get their story. I go, oh, you know what? I was in real estate up until 2007, but then, look what the world did. The economy crashed, the banks screwed us over, I lost everything. I ain't never going back there. I ain't never trying business again. You're crazy for being in business. Well, simultaneously, he goes, well, where are you going today? Oh, and what's that last thing you did? And how do you think the economy's doing? And what do you think of the real estate market? I could feel it. It is a story that's holding them back because that person wants to go back in, but they're holding on to the past. They're holding on to the money they lost, the person that let them down, the people that let them down. And all it's doing is perpetuating to absolutely, you can predict your future. If you hold on to a story from yesterday, you can absolutely predict tomorrow. That's just it. It's absolutely true. So you could go through this exercise we're gonna do here in a moment, and you could do this with your career. You could do it with the story about your income, the story about your relationship. You know, listen, you could have a story about your relationship. There's no intimacy or connection, but you know, that's what happens to marriages after the first 6 months. You're just kind of co-partners. Is that true? Or is that your story? I might have thought that was true in my past. I don't think it's true now. I get to fall more in love every single day. It's the biggest lie I've ever heard in my life. There might have been a time in my life where I thought that. Watching my parents get married 9 times between the two of them, I might have had a story at some time that marriages are just dumb and they don't work. That story lived in me, to be honest with you. Story doesn't live in me now. I'm married to my wife until I'm 110. I ain't going anywhere, right? It just all depends. You know, I've heard people say, you know, I'd work out, but there's just zero time. I'd love to be in great shape, Dean, like you. You got time, you're rich, you get time. I've met people that have nothing and they're in the best shape of their lives because they find the time because it's important to them because they have a different story around it. So you could do this in all areas of your life. So what's the story? Where do you think that story came from? Who's to blame about that story? Who took advantage of you? Who did something sideways that put something in here? Maybe it's your parents to blame. It doesn't matter. It's not. We're not putting blame on them. We're finding the root cause so we could snip it as we go through this process. And how has this story affected your life? Remember, your story is your life. So how has this affected you? Has it been empowering? Has it brought you to a whole nother level? Or has it created regret? Has it created lost opportunity? Has it held you back from being who you were supposed to be, the woman that God, the man that God designed you to be, your full potential? What has it cost you? What is it? How has it affected your life? Let's just be honest, real, and raw. And I don't want you to think as I'm sharing this, as this part of the course, that I'm thinking your life is pathetic and everything's screwed over. No, but if you're here, you're either moving away from something that's painful, or you want to move towards another level. We're just all on this journey. If we're not climbing, we're sliding. I truly believe that. If we're not growing, we're dying. So you're just on this journey. And the story, please hear this. The story that gets you out of Egypt is not the story that will take you to the promised land. I want to tell you, the story that helped me start my businesses is not the same story as to when I got to 100 or to a million a year. It's not the same story I had when I had one employee. When I went to 50 employees, I had to adapt a new story. When I got nervous about scaling bigger and doing a company that, you know, tens and tens and tens of millions of dollars in revenue and people and worldwide and all this crazy stuff and partners, and I was scared to death. I had to revisit and say the story that got me to a million a year, not the same story that could take me to 50 million a year. It's not the same story. I had to upgrade my story. I had to pick apart that story. I had to figure out where that story came from. And then we're going to go through a process on how to upgrade that story, because your next level story will get your next level of life. So what I want you to do right now is I want you to grab your sheet about uncovering your story. If you don't have a sheet, you do it on a piece of paper. And I want you to write down, what is the current story? Where did that story come from? Who's to blame? Where? How did that get anchored in? And how's it affected your life? This is the foundation, and this leads us right into the next section that we're going to be training. So do the exercise. Hey guys, welcome back. Welcome back. I have to tell you, we just sat here. We added some extra time watching you guys go through this and watching you really play full out. Those of you who have just done that exercise and truly thought into it and looked at it through a different light, I read so many comments while we were on break, and seeing you have the breakthroughs, seeing tears in some of your eyes, seeing you holding up your paper. Like, again, remember what I said, you've probably heard this before. You've probably thought about your story. Yeah, it's a story holding me back. But I hope you see, and I hope I've served you well today by this evolution of really digging in deep to not only identify the story, but identify the reason that that story is yours. Because when we do, we can find a way to disconnect with it a little later on. I gotta share, I mean it. You just sat here and filled my heart watching you guys go full out to do this, to have breakthroughs that you haven't, to address childhood fears and memories that you kind of put on the shelf. And those of you at home working on this course right now, I hope you took the time to really dig into this. This is the foundation of life. This is the foundation of success. This is when we address the truth, as we uncover what's held us back. And as we break this down, know that through the journey of this course, we get to build this back up. We're not gonna leave you down here. We're identifying. You can't fix the problem. You can't go to the next level until you identify where you are. And all of these exercises are getting us there. I'd love to take a moment here, Mike and my team in the other room. And if you're, again, if you're going through the course, I want you to hear some of the, maybe some of the breakthroughs, some of the stories other people had, because it helps all of us realize we're not alone on this journey to go from where we are where we truly deserve to be and want to go. So I saw a couple people sharing and great comments. I want to call on everybody right now, but let's bring on David Guzman. David, I saw in your comments that you said you had a breakthrough, and I'd love for you just to share real quick, what was that breakthrough?
What's up? Thank you so much. Like, it's an honor to be on, but the breakthrough that I just had, like, I did door-to-door sales, and I had a manager that had left me, like, midway through, like, my sales manager that was supposed to help me out. So after that, I went and did a social media marketing, tried that out, got, like, a bunch of courses. We had, like, sit-downs. I wasn't ever able to, like, close the deal, even doing door-to-door sales. I would get into so many homes, like, in door-to-door, like, getting in the home is, like, the most important part. So I would get in, but I wouldn't close the deal. So, like, now, one thing I didn't notice and, like, that I have just realized, like, before I hop on calls, because I'm doing personal training now, online personal training, and whenever I go on calls, like, I get scared just because, like, I've realized before, like, I could never close a deal, I could never close a deal, so what makes me think I'm going to close this one?
And how has that story helped you, though? Like, identifying that, how is that going to shift you?
Because now I could finally realize, like, that's just a fear that's been holding me back. It's something that I'm, because I know in myself, I can help someone out, change their physique. I've done it to myself and to friends. So just realizing that fear, that it's just something that's been brought up from previous and from the past, is something that.
Okay, so let me give you two little secrets here, okay? Both my kids are in baseball, and it sounds like you're athletic as well. And every coach, yeah, my team, every coach my kids have ever been on, before they get up, you know what they teach them? Is, you know, kids, especially when curveballs start, I'm just going to digress here a second. When curveballs start, especially kids about 12, 13 years old right now are throwing 60 miles an hour curveballs, it's hard to hit. Kids get scared, right? And every coach always tells them, if you walk up saying, oh my God, I've struck out the last game, it's going to be a curveball, this is going to be hard to hit, you will strike out 100% of the time. They said, you got to tell your brain, I'm hitting this time. This is mine. I can't wait for this pitcher to throw me that ball. I can't wait for him to throw me a curve so I can hit it. And that mindset shifts everything. And thank you for sharing that, David, because if you go into every phone call saying, oh my God, I don't close, I can't even get in their home, and when I do, I can't get them to say yes, oh, maybe I can close this one. You never will, ever. So recognize that story. Remember, earlier in the course, we talked about the positive point. You're pointing at the rock. You're pointing at the down tree. You're pointing at the thing that could flip you over. There's no way you'll ever shift that. That's number one. Number two, I want you to think about this. You want to take away the fear of selling? First off, sell something you love. I love the fact that I got so many of you enrolled to be a part of VIP, to keep this course, because I know I can change your life. I don't look at this as trying to sell any of you. I look at it as service. I look at it through the lens that I would be doing you a disservice if you don't have access to this course. So I want you to look it through a different lens. You're not going in there to sell them. If you're not selling a quality product, David, which it doesn't sound like, I don't think you wouldn't be here. If you're not, then upgrade what you're offering to people. But if you love what you're doing, man, you're doing them a disservice if you don't get them to say yes, because they might not get in the best shape. They might not get the deal. They might not have the happiness, whatever it is that you're offering. And then the last thing I want you to think about, and this is for everybody, don't make it about you. If you walk in there thinking, can I sell them? That puts too much pressure on you. Your job is to go in and serve them, to make them feel good. If you make it about them, you'll never sell a day in your life. So thank you for sharing that, man. Keep up the good work. Love having you here and gaining these capabilities. All right.
No, thank you.
Next, let's bring up Holly. I don't know Holly's last name, but I saw Holly put her hands up when we first came back. I'd love for you to share.
Oh my gosh, I'm shaking. I'm so excited.
How you doing, Holly?
Hi. Thanks for having me, Dean.
You're welcome. You're welcome. No thanks. Let me hear a story, or what breakthrough did you have on this exercise?
Well, I was holding up my paper. I went to answer the question, but I treated this like a diary, a journal exercise. And I started out, what was really interesting is I started out with all the fluffy surface crap.
We all do.
And then it took me a minute. It was like I was talking to myself. And what I had noticed was I had a coaching program that I was with for a long time that was like a drill sergeant. They were beating me down to keep me there. And it was very negative. And since finding you and Tony, you guys are filling life with love. And I'm learning now that when I had my right-hand person blindside me in my real estate company and left me, it triggered an event that went on for way too long. It happened in 2016, and I'm now realizing that was the root of why I had turnover in my employees and why I just couldn't get past my production level. And I tried to self-sabotage and kill my business. And it actually started overflowing that and killing my marriage, my family. It was awful. I was in a total path of self-destruction, and I'm usually rainbows and unicorns.
Yeah, well, and I watched so many of the comments. Thank you for sharing that, Holly, and I love that we took the time, and I want to encourage everyone to go back to this section and take an hour or two if you need to. I kept adding time. I almost was going to add another 10 minutes because I saw so many of you in the space. Go watch that section again and do this like Holly did. Write the notes, because a lot of times we'll go, oh, my stories, I don't think I'm so smart. Yeah, I don't think I'm so smart. But if you really think and you go deeper on the story, it's like, no, my dad didn't think I was that smart. And he always, there's always a deeper reason behind it. And when you spend the time, you go, oh my God, I've been carrying, Sylvia, I see you shaking your head. I've been carrying this since I was 17, since I was 7, since I was 27. I've been carrying this story, this horrible story, since that person sabotaged me and quit. Holy crap. If you're one of those people who think you don't have a story, I'm going to call BS. It doesn't matter if life's okay. If you're here, you want more. There is a story that got you here. It's a new story that takes you there. And Holly, you know, we're going to continue this journey, and we're going to really identify this. We're going to put some pain on it, but we're going to also see why we're going through these stories and how we can use them as fuel, not the anchor. Because the easiest thing for you to do is continue the story and say, I can't believe I just wasted 7 years of my life with that stupid story. I'm so dumb. Why did I? And you replace a crappy story with another crappy story, and then you get another 7 years.
I love how you just said that, Dee, not to interrupt you, but that's exactly what happened. Is I realized my mom, when I was upset, when people would leave me, they kept saying, she didn't mean it to be bad, but she wanted me to play small to protect me as her kiddo. And, you know, when I went through all that loss, I realized it went all the way back to my parents' divorce. Like, play small. Don't move. Don't go for the $2 million property, because you're going to get burned, or you're going to put too much stress on yourself. And that's not who I am. And you guys have helped me realize that. I've got a lot of love to give, and I've got a lot of support. And KBB is awesome, and you're awesome. And I'm going to change lives, man. I'm going to do it.
I love it. I love it. Let's give it up for Holly. Let's give it up for David as well. And let's get, I would love to know, Danielle Marr. There was two Danielles, and we picked one from New Zealand or Australia. And Danielle Marr, I saw you shaking your head too. Both of you are like, are you picking me? So since we have two Danielles, let's get the other Danielle on here to share her story.
Hi, Dean.
Hi, Danielle. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. So what did you reckon? It sound like I watched you. I get to watch everybody. It keeps shifting. So I get to see all of you that who are then VIP. It shifts. But I saw you like really intent and like concerned, or I could just tell you were doing it. You were in it. So I'd love to have for you to share, you know, share one breakthrough that you got with that exercise.
Listening to the one thing that really hit home with me that you hadn't said before, that like your limiting beliefs is your parasite. That kind of hit home. I think that's an important one to keep. Through three things. One, when I was 14, like you, my teacher just said the most horrific thing to me, that I was just gonna never grow up to be anything. I was gonna be, he actually used the word streetwalker. So I don't know what that meant, but I'm certainly not that. Being in a boardroom as an executive and getting my head handed to me that you were just never smart enough, couldn't be good enough, didn't know your numbers, even though I did. But it was when I had the stroke and I nearly died, and I felt like damaged goods. I think the three put it all together and anchored it a little bit. But I really learned on the other side how incredibly strong I was, and I was smart, and I had grit, and I had integrity, and I was still caring and loving and beautiful, and I wasn't what I call damaged goods. And that's kind of where I'm at now, and I really thank you and Tony for helping me, because that's pretty recent, let that go so that I can do as you say, fall forward. But it's still, they still come in and haunt me every once in a while.
Yeah, and they never go away. Transformation we're going to do, especially throughout this course and this training, is see how it can be your fuel. So when you think about it, it doesn't anchor you backwards. It actually propels you forward. And I could tell just by the way you're sharing that you're already on that journey. But when it's second nature, you know, I have to say, I'll tell you, I saw someone said, they said that to my daughter. Mrs. Thompson, I remember, just like you remember at 14 years old, she said, you'll never amount to anything. You're dumb. You're not working hard enough. You're not sounding it out. It's right in front of you. She was judging me through a bad scorecard. I still can't read a book and comprehend it, but I listen to a book a week and I can remember almost the entire book. She didn't take the time to say, oh, you can't visually read. What about listening? What about watching? Right? She was just going, she was looking through her lens with her own story. And I remember this, and this is not being rude to Ms. Thompson, but this really helped me. Right out of high school, that was seventh grade, and with the year out of high school, I'd already started a firewood business and a car business. And I was doing pretty well. Literally, I was making more than my mom and dad. I was making more than any teacher by the time I was 19 years old. And I'd loved snowmobiling my whole life, and I didn't have the money to go snowmobiling. And when I was 19, I went and bought a $6,000 snowmobile, and I paid cash for it. And it was from my hard work of working on cars and all the things I was working on. I remember there was a snowstorm in my little town. Sorry, I never told this story before. And might even come across a little rude, but I'm in this little town. It's snowing like crazy. And I drive my snowmobile on the roads. And everybody did back then. You'd pass the cops, they'd wave to you. I stopped at a light. And I was next to Mrs. Thompson. And I remember she was in an old beat up Ford Escort. And it was 10 years old, and it was a disaster. Like, there was crap stacked up in the back seat, and she just looked miserable in a car that was worth maybe $500. And I wasn't like, ha ha, I just remember thinking, wow, I let her intimidate me. She judged me, probably because she went home and hated her own life, or she thought maybe she wasn't smart enough to do something more. I don't know what her story was, but I remember not being like, ha ha, I'm richer than you. It was more like, wow, we gotta watch who judges us. So I hope that helps a little bit. And Danielle, thank you for sharing and being on this journey.
Thank you. I think I'm feeding the wrong wolf.